this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
We recently, or this week, we came back from visiting Myanmar. Some of us, we went on a trip, and it's good to see, hey, Amri, some of us that joined in going there. And we really had such a blessed time. I'm not going to share too much details about that. That's why we do our Let's Go Feedback services. But I want to touch on a couple of things which we encountered there and how God spoke there. And I really felt that God wants to, through the trip, bring an impartation tonight for you guys. You know what? That is really good news for you, because it will be like you've been there yourself, right? Amazing how impartation works. So if you're not excited, you better be. If the person next to you is falling asleep, just like punch them in the face or something. But let's really receive which God has for each and every one of us. Amen. And the funny thing is, in the Burmese language, like Myanmar, the country's name was Burma. Most people know Burma for some reason, but not Myanmar. But the name actually changed 22 years ago already. So it's Myanmar. And the reason I say Myanmar is, in the Burmese language, they don't have an R. Like, they don't have that. So the correct way of saying it's Myanmar, for those who like to do things the right way. And something funny, we ate some really good, but some interesting food there as well. And usually you get everything just like in one bowl, and it's really difficult to distinguish which meat it is. And there was some fear erupting in the team, because we come to realize that most regions of the country, they eat dog meat, right? And you know, for some of us, dogs are pets. But for many people out there, not as much meat, right? So we had people like Steph, who has a dog, not too excited to eat meat. We all know Steph. But you know what? So we were sort of this question, like, yes, what are we eating? And I remember this one time, I asked our contact there, like, what are we eating? Excuse me, I'm a bit sick. And he said, fly meat. And I immediately realized, okay, it's obviously, but I just saw, I can't remember who, but someone's eyes like, are we eating flies? I'm like, no, we're not. It's fried meat. Because they don't have an R. So the context was like fly instead of fry. But anyway, so that's a funny joke. You need to laugh, okay? So we had so much, you know, we had such a blessed time there. It's a really interesting country, lots of cool dynamics. And it's the first thing that I really noticed, it's so great to see how open the country is for change. Because over the last 5 years, there's been so much change in the country. If you wanted to have a car, I drive a relatively small car, Ford Figo, you guys will know it. That would, excuse me, would cost 5 million rand there, right? Normal cell phone SIM card would cost 30,000 rand. So things were quite expensive. So only the rich, which were only the military generals, they would have cars, they would have cell phones. So over the last couple of years, there's been so much change in the country, and thus being, the people are so open. They are so open to even receive us, irrelevant to what faith, irrelevant to what motive. So wherever we came, people's hearts were open. They were friendly. And it's great to just see what is happening on a practical level in the country. I'm very excited for the dynamic there. And I believe that the time is now for the gospel to spread there like never, ever before. So if God doesn't tell you, don't go to Myanmar, go and share the gospel. Has God told anyone recently not to go there? One? No? Okay, so let's all go and share, amen? Amen, you can't take it back now. Just kidding. But it's great to see how hungry the church in Myanmar is. And the crazy thing is, we would have a service, start early the day, end late afternoon, but we would bring word after word after word. And after sharing 4 words, we are sort of like, okay, we just want to go, you know, come on, 4. But the people just sit and want to receive more and more. And what stood out for me personally above that, and this is what I want to encourage you guys with, is above their hearts of being receptive. That's why tonight you're not getting home early. Okay? Amen? No amen on that one. Oh, yet the Lord is testing our hearts tonight. Was really great to see, because as we taught, as we preached, I looked at our team, and I looked at myself, and we are preaching really to the choir. You are preaching to guys who's been in this game of the ministry longer than I am old. And I'm like, Lord, like, why? And I just came to the realization that we in Shofar are so blessed. And tonight, if you do not know that, you are blessed. And you need to, in your quiet time, tonight or tomorrow morning, say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me into this church. Shofar is far from perfect. Let's get that straight. I don't believe any church is, but I believe you are getting there. But if I look at what we learn, and just like someone who's done first-year Bible school, you know more than the majority of the church out there that is secluded and alone out there. So each and every one of you sitting here have so much to give to the church out there. So I really want to encourage you, if you've never gone, and it's not just to Myanmar or India, you've never just went to your neighbor out of fear of not knowing what to say, or this, Lord, do I actually have anything to share? You have something to share. And I want to encourage you to firstly thank God for being part of Shofar. Secondly, say, Lord, how can I share this which you have taught me in my church, in our movement? Because the problem I see, and it's not just in our church, I think in the Western church in general, we have a lot of spiritually fat people. We only receive, we only eat the good food, the good teachings, the good preachings, the good doctrines, good Bible school. We sit and receive everything, but we don't share. There's no running and sharing the gospel. There's no going out. There's no being active with that which has gone in. You know what? I think the church in the West is getting spiritually fat, up to the point where it's so difficult to get up from the chair and share the gospel. I want to encourage you. You have something to share. You have something to give more than you realize. I promise you this. Let us exercise spiritually. Let us give out that which God has given us. Because this newsflash, you didn't do Bible school so that you can know more. Did Bible school so that you can be more effective in sharing. Just by the way. So really, let's change our thinking tonight. Let's be thankful for where God has placed us. But let us use the gift God has given us. Amen? Because I'm always humbled to just see wherever God leads us. Young people sharing with the people who's been in it so long. And they are amazed at what we have to bring to the table. And I'm like, how is this possible, Lord? And it's really always brings you back to this place of thankfulness, but a conviction as well that we need to go further, we need to go deeper, and we really need to go share more and more and more, because God has blessed us with amazing programs, amazing teachings, amazing discipleship, and we need to use it for the kingdom's sake. Amen? But let's not get fat, church. Let's share that which comes in. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's where we come to the title of the sermon, Zoe. Zoe is Zoe life, life in abundance. Why did Jesus come to earth? Through the cross, we are reconciled to the Father. But why did Jesus come? Why did he walk the walk with us? Why did he teach us? Why did he call us to repentance? So that we may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus through the cross has given us salvation. He has given us reconciliation with our Father. He has removed our sins, removed our transgressions. I am perfect, God. I'm not a sinner. Try to convince me otherwise. You need to go through Jesus. The cross of Jesus Christ paid for all our sins, forgiven all our sins, and removed of all our sins, right? We've been through that. So the cross of Jesus Christ has set us free. But does that mean he came and died for us so that through salvation we will one day in heaven have an abundant life? No. Otherwise, I think none of us would have been here. Jesus came so that we can have a life of abundance in this world, in this age, in 2015, 2016 to come, in South Africa, in your church, in your workplace, in your family, specifically in your family, God has placed you there to live an abundant life. And for me, it's great to see how so many people across the globe, and it's not the minority, they are the majority out there, that have nothing. But they have everything. So tonight, the word is simple. God is calling us to live lives of abundance. Because the question is, if the world out there, let's just for simplification, let's say sinners out there, the world, people that don't know Jesus, when they have to look at the church, let's bring it closer to them. If they have to look at us, firstly at our facial expressions, and then secondly at our lives, would they want to have what we have? See, the world doesn't primarily listen to what we preach or what we say. No. They look at how we live. So the question is, in your workplace, in your on campus, wherever it is you are, when people are negative about our president, when people are negative about life, when people say, oh, the Rand Dollar Exchange, da da da, do we moan and grumble with them? Are we negative with them? Are we fear-driven with them? We're actually living lives where we lack nothing. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. That means we lack nothing. We have a life of abundance, right? So it's a simple question tonight. If someone had to look, an outsider had to look at your life, would they come to Christ? Would they want to want what you have? If you stand in a mix of conversations of negativity and fear and pride, whatever it is that is out there, which is all of the above, what is our statements? What do we say? What is our response? As children of God, who has no sin, who has no fear, and who's called to live a life of abundance. How do we live our lives? 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. You see, for a long time I believed that my eternal life started the day I came to salvation. That led to a long list of problems, because then I started through works trying to stop sinning, stop doing all these wrong stuff, because now it's sort of on me. That is such a lie from the enemy. So eternity started even way before the earth was created. Even way before you were born, eternity was set in motion. We all live lives of eternity. And the question is, where are we going to spend? We have whatever time left on earth, but where are we going to spend the time after earth? Are we going to spend that time living in heaven, or really just wishing we did not live in hell? So eternity is this thing already happening. How are we living it? How are we thinking and seeing this, what we do? How are we giving our lives to this for the sake of the gospel and the cross of Jesus Christ, so that people will come to salvation? That's the reason why you're still alive. Because as children of God, He has called us to be the light, to be the salt, to be the change. And you know what? I'm not going to count them now, but there's a couple of lights in this place. If we have to throw in another 100 lights in this place, do you think any one light would be more significant than the other? Would you notice the light in the lit room? No, you don't. Obviously not. Where do you notice light? Where it's dark. Because it expels the darkness and you notice the light. Where are you placed? Where are you placing yourself as the light? You see, if we only spend our time amongst Christians and in church, we are wasting our light. There's a time for fellowship. There's a time for receiving. There's a time for impartation. That should not be the primary focus. See, freely we have received salvation. God has called us to give it. No matter the cost, no matter how far, no matter whatever we need to do to get there. Because let me promise you, God did not make you a light to put you next to another light. He has called us to be lights in the darkness. So tonight, it's very simple. It's not complicated at all. The only thing is that whatever questions I ask, I want to encourage you, ask yourself those questions. Where are you placing yourself in order for God to move through you? If you feel like, yes, Lord, why don't you use me? Why don't I feel you? Why don't I hear your voice? Why do I feel that you are so far away? Let's firstly stop asking God a bunch of really annoying questions and just look at your life and see, Lord, where am I? Are you able to use me where I am right now, or should I just move? Sometimes it is so easy and it's so practical for us to see the glory of God if you just go to the house next door and move out of yours. Amen? We need to be the lights in the darkness. And for me, obviously the best example in everything is Jesus, but for Paul in this example, you know what he said? In having everything and in having nothing, he has learned to abase, to be happy, right? Who Paul was not dependent on what he had or where he was. Paul rejoiced whether he was free. He definitely rejoiced in prison. We know that. Angels coming in, storming the gate, letting him out, people getting saved, families getting saved. Crazy stories. Why? Because Paul lived a life of abundance. Irrelevant to where he's been placed, practically, didn't change who he was. Let me ask a difficult question tonight, and I'm sorry. If you had to lose everything tonight, including your family, would you still rejoice and worship? It's tough questions. Paul could. Jesus could. And you know what? The expectations from our Father is nothing less. Because it's not supposed to be on our own strength. It's on the strength of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was so free of his own life, that's why he could hang on the cross, not feel done in, not feel like, yes, how could this happen to me? I'd never sinned. But he hung there and he forgave the people that stoned him and hung him and beaten him. What would we do if we were thrown into jail for simply just being here tonight? Would we sue? Would we take you to the highest court? Would we fight until we have no nails left? Or will we simply rejoice? Because God has given us a chance to minister in prison. I think tonight God just wants to shape the way we think about ourselves and stop being so responsive to whatever Jay-Z does or what happens in politics or in our country or in your finances and just be, Lord, that has nothing to do with me. Jesus was free of that. Paul was free of that. You know what? Jesus had to lose his life in order for us to have ours. We know that. So in order for us to have our lives, we need to lose it. You need to lose your life in order to have life. See, we came back from Myanmar and just scrolling through Facebook, my heart was so hurt to see the church through fear, moaning, dishonoring, disrespecting our president. Who the hell do we think we are? You see, the decisions he makes does affect us. It changes some pension funds. It changes the rand dollar exchange. It influences a lot of things. But who's our provider? Jacob Zuma? No, come on. God is. Who has more money, Jacob Zuma or God? Why do we fear? Why do we move to the place of dishonoring and disrespecting our leadership? You know what? That is not good for you. You can read scripture. It is not good for you to make your leader's job a hard one. Not recommended. Let's look at Saul and David. You know, the Bible was never afraid to say when there was a wicked king. The sad thing is, or the reality is, all authority comes from God. You know, that's all. So Hitler, Jacob Zuma, all authority, everyone is placed in authority by God. But unfortunately, people sometimes choose to do bad things with the authority that is received from God. So they make bad decisions, make ungodly decisions, and it's sad and it's bad, and a lot of bad things happen. Saul was such an example as well. He was a wicked king, right? David, someone close to God's heart. That's me as well. God loves me. He had the opportunity, I'm really serious. He had the opportunity to kill Saul, right? So Saul came to this cave where David was hiding because Saul tried to kill him. I'm not aware that Jacob was trying to kill any one of us. So Saul came into the cave, and then David had a knife, and then Saul was, I think he was busy urinating or something, and then David came, and instead of slitting his throat, you know, wanting to take power, wanting to take things into his own control, he could rule the kingdom the way he wanted to, the way he saw fit, but instead cut a piece of his cloak off, retreated, and said, "Hey, hello." He did not kill him. Days or weeks, whatever, I'm not sure, later, Saul was killed on the battlefield against an enemy, and one of David's kinsmen came running into the cave rejoicing, "Hey, hallelujah, you can be king. Saul is dead." You know what David did to the guy? He killed him because he had no respect for the anointed of God. We need to check our hearts. What are we saying against our president? Because if there's one thing, it should be nothing. God appoints authority and he removes kings. We see in scripture that God is completely capable of removing kings as well. There's a place where leadership is held accountable for the actions. Yes, if you are corrupt, there's a place of accountability. There's a place of correction. But tell me, the Zuma Must Fall campaign, out of what heart is that birthed? When I pray about it, I only pick up fear and pride. It's not from God. We will be way more effective if we just retreat from all of that and start praying for our country. Because why? It will go well with you. When I stand before God one day, God won't ask me, "What did Zuma do with his presidency?" He'll simply ask me, "How did you submit to him?" That's all. Whatever happens between God and Zuma, that's Zuma's problem, unfortunately. Buck stops with my heart, right? And Melody said something so beautiful yesterday, and I just agreed with everything. And she said, like, yes, as she just scrolls through all of these, what, the news feeds, and they call it fear porn, right? So you click on all these things, and you read about a negative stuff and whatever, and it tries to lure you in. And she's like, she never clicks on any of it, never watches any video about Zuma or anything like that, because it would make it so difficult for her to submit to him. So let's take a step back. Let's done talking about Jacob Zuma. How are we just respecting our other authority, our other leaders? Your fathers, your husbands. Because we should be so free from ourselves to not want that which we want, but simply do that is from God. Because in it we have an abundant life. Jesus never ever stood up for his own rights. Human rights are from the pit of hell. How can you have rights when you are dead? Right? And that's the only way we have lives of abundance, is when we lost our lives to pick it up. Do you agree, church? Amen? We really need to get this, and this was so powerful for me. I'm contacting Myanmar again. He's been dragged off to prison so many times. Not for being a bad person, for worshiping God. And then they would give him lots of trouble and make him sign these papers that say he will never worship God or whatever again. You know what's the first thing he does when they release him from prison? That's his church. And he worships louder and harder than ever before. They've got a mean sound system there. Crazy guitarist. Trust me, they can hoy it. And that's what he does as soon as he's released. Why? Because irrelevant to what the world will ever do at him, he will never stop worshiping. In jail, out of jail. About to be shot or not, will we ever stop worshiping? Because if we are at that place, that is truly what it looks like to have Zoe. Life of no lack. Jesus is our source. He's our fortress. He's our rock. He's our provider. He's our everything, right? I'm sure we've said that. Is he our everything? Or are we sort of still one foot with him and another foot somewhere else? And you know what? God does not really understand that. There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. I don't understand that concept either. You're a Christian or not, right? So God is really calling us to stop worrying and simply abide in His truth and in His word and in His life. Because what makes us alive, not the fact, if our hearts stop beating tonight, all of ours, will we die? Our bodies, yes. The rest of us will live on into eternity. So the fact that our hearts are beating does not make us alive when any fact gives us life, no. There are many movies about zombies, but they need to stop making movies because I see a bunch of zombies every day. The Walking Dead. People living with no hope, no future, no joy, worrying about every single thing happening around them. Do you know what? That is not from God. Unfortunately, we visited this big temple in Myanmar as well. And usually when God says that, I usually try to pull His leg so that we don't have to go, because it breaks my heart to go to a place like that. And this specific place is a place where Buddhists worship the idols. And it's just a physical manifestation of idols, where our idols here are like cell phones and stuff like that for many of us. But then you walk around and you realize, like, yes, most of these people that you see, they're going to hell. And breaks your heart. And I always ask myself, Jesus, what would you do if you were walking right here where I'm walking now? What would you do? And God led us to do amazing stuff there. I'm really excited to see what the fruit of that will be. You're not alive because our hearts are beating. You're alive because of the life of Jesus Christ. Simple question again. Would people get saved when they look at the way you live your life? If the answer is no, then we are missing the mark. There's a place for teaching, a place for preaching. The world is not looking for that. Uncle Angus Bachan said, you know what I preach will never change anyone, but it's who I am. Same applies to all of us. Matthew 6:27 says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why do we worry? Why do we worry about the rand-dollar exchange? Why do we worry about our pension funds? Why do we worry about these things? Yes, they are realities. Yes, it affects us. Should we worry about it? Not a single second. Does not bring glory to God, and that means we are in the place where we are really still trying to survive on our own strength, our own security, by going online banking, seeing what the balance is, and that affects the way we live our life. Ooh. If I had to do that, I would never go anywhere. What motivates us? Know what? God will always receive every single person that stands before Him, right? It's one person that God rejects. Who's that? The proud. God gives grace to the humble, but He rejects the proud. So if we are pride, God will reject us. We're doing life on our own strength, on our own abilities, on whatever our bank balance is, or we simply walking in obedience to the commands of God. If He says go, is our response when and where, or is it, yes, let me see how much money I have. Talk to anyone that went to the Myanmar. God provided for all of us. Because God said go. What is our responses when God starts speaking? Go to your neighbor. Oh, yes, Lord, I don't have anything to say. Oh, Lord, I need to just can. Does Igoli still show? I don't know. I still want to finish watching my show first, and then I'll go. What if that person dies, and we miss the opportunity? It's not about fear, it's just about priorities. We should live lives free of our own comforts and desires so that we can have it abundantly, because that is why Jesus came. Through the cross, we are reconciled with Jesus. Lived so that we could look at His life and model it exactly. He lived a life of abundance. He didn't even have a place to sleep. House. He had no need. He had no lack. There's nothing wrong with having a house. I'm still trusting God. I'm like, quite regularly, I think it's a lot of, I believe it's pure. it's from a pure heart. I'm like, Lord, I want a Mercedes. I love it, really love Mercedes. Yeah, it's amazing cars, eh? Sure. But I love speed as well, and I think that's my problem. So there's nothing wrong with having these great stuff that are engineered and by Germans, they're amazing. but where's our heart at? If you lose your Mercedes, will it change the way you feel or think? I always hold this thing before myself. Like, Lord, if you have to take it all away, would I still rejoice? Would I still worship? And you know what? When we are at that place, that is when God starts to use us. Because that's when He has our lives. Would you invest in a partner with your company if he's only 50% committed? Obviously not. That's stupid. Right? But somehow we think with God, we can just do things half-heartedly and He must just be okay with it. Would you want a friend if He only wants stuff from you the whole time? Hell no. I don't want a friend like that. You can get some. You can get your other friends. We have friends that just like to be with us, sitting on the couch, talking nonsense or not talking at all because you enjoy being with one another, right? How are we living our lives? And what is our expectation that we have towards God? John 1:4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." God is calling us to be the light in the darkness, to go and to surround ourselves with those that are not saved. Because it's a thing where a persecuted church, how sad and how rough it is, you know what, that is where God is closest, because people are laying down their lives for whatever sake. Jesus commanded the church in Jerusalem to go. They didn't go. They stagnated for a couple of years. What happened? God allowed persecution to come and church grew. Let's look at the persecuted church today in the world. I experienced Jesus there more than anywhere else on this earth. Are we the light in the darkness? Or where are we going? And what are we doing with our lives? You see, because in Myanmar as well, there's a specific province to the north. Myanmar in its whole is 1% evangelical Christians. So there's a lot of work to be done. But there's this entire province that a while back, all the Christians, they sort of moved there and the government took off all supply of, there's no airplanes and buses, anything going there. They sort of need to, it's like a separate country in Myanmar, right? So the Christians are posted there, everyone forgets about them. But in the same way, they didn't start moving out, even though the command was they need to stay there and live there. So they really started to just make a community by themselves. And what happened during the course of the years is all of those people on fire for Christ, you know what happened? The church stagnated. They've become religious. Now the most difficult people to reach in Myanmar are not the Buddhists, are the Roman Catholics. Because they've become religious. Why have they become religious? Because they stopped being the light in the darkness. It was a bunch of lights amidst one another. You know what happens then? Oh, my light is brighter than yours. Oh, my light is prettier than yours. Let's compare the lights we have. You know what? Then we become that competitive, stupid church, right? Instead of just being the light in the darkness and seeing the wonders of God, because everything flees when you enter a room. So this is one simple question. When was the last time that you as an individual shared the gospel? And if you struggle to remember, that should be alarming, by the way. Because that means you are not the light. You are not the salt. You are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because who are you living your life for? Difficult questions. But we need to ask this of ourselves, because you know what? God will ask it of us when we stand before Him. And I would rather rectify things now than then, right? Amen? So Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. So the call tonight is, church, for us to stop fearing, for us to stop worrying, for us to stop doubting, for us to stop being influenced by whatever decisions our president makes, our CEO makes, our what do you call it, professor makes, whatever it is that people make around us, it should not change who we are. Because who are we? The children of God. Can anyone ever take that away from us? Can they take away our God? So why are we worrying? Only because we allow it. And we are still hoarding onto our lives. I want to encourage us tonight, church. And band, you guys can come to the front, please, Warren. And tonight, it's a simple thing I want to do. I'm just going to pray for us. And if you agree and feel that you want to pray with me, you could do that just where you are sitting. And the prayer is simple. That it's great that it's now holiday time. Some of us have 1 or 2 days off or 2 months off, whatever. So wherever you have a day off or time off, I really want you to take this seriously. That whether you are a parent or married or have 200 friends, it's all irrelevant. I want you to take your calendar and diarize however you feel led. Whether it's an hour, whether it's a day, or whether it's a week for some of us. Hear what God wants to say. Where it's a time where you will consecrate yourself. That means you will set yourself apart to be with God. And you know what? All the other stuff, it can take care of itself. If you have a wife, you can look after the kids for the day or whatever. But in this day, I want to encourage us. It's not a day where we will sit and write down our stupid New Year's resolutions that never work. It's not a day where you repent of all the things you've done wrong during this year. It's not the things that you want to rectify the next year. All those things are important, but that's not what this is about. I want to encourage you to simply spend time with God for God. When was the last time you've done that? Don't sit and ask Him anything. Just simply be with Him. It's not, you know, you don't have to pray for His fire or His presence to come down or anything like God is here. He's in that room where you will sit down. Just be with Him. I will only trust my heart to a friend who I know is committed to me. That if I never give him anything else, that he would never leave me and never forsake me. We know God will never leave us or forsake us. Will we leave or forsake him? I believe so. Will God trust us then? See, God never tempts us, but he tests us. Why? To get to know our hearts. Look at Moses, look at Abraham, look at Jesus. So this is the challenge tonight. After you've asked yourself a bunch of questions tonight, I'm going to pray that God would lead me somewhere where I have to spend time with God for Him, for His benefit. He's my Father, I'm His child. And I believe, Christian, I know you can relate, you would want your kids to be with you and not want anything just because they love you, right? Place where child needs everything from us, but I believe we've all grown up beyond that point. Not babies anymore. Let's give God who we are because He rejoices in us. And I believe it's become such a dependency relationship that God is sick and tired of it. He doesn't want to be our friends. Yes, He's our Lord, He's our God, but He's not our friend. I wouldn't want to be my friend. So this is the challenge tonight. Simple. And if you feel that that applies to you, and you can't answer when was the last time you shared the gospel to anyone, this is how we get back to the life of abundance. We cannot have it if we do not know our Father. We cannot have it if we do not know Jesus. And that is how we get back to Him. Is we lay down our selfish desires and just be with Him. Get to know Him. Because then He imparts to us that life which He came to give us. Amen.
Speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.